Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and joining me once again is Shay Dixon here on April 11th. Shay, how you doing today?
Chilling. Spring game, or the not spring game, is about 24 hours away. I believe it's 11-1, 10:30 to 12:30, something in that range. But afterwards, fans, it's free in Tiger Stadium, and then you can get autographs and talk to the coaches, all that stuff. So
when you said 11-1, I thought you were gonna start giving out gambling odds on like a on a spring game. I was like, wait, what do you got here? What is this, first touchdown?
Yeah, no, I'm out of that. I don't know what I didn't see the final count, Maddie B, but I would bet more than half the SEC schools are not having spring games.
Yeah, no, Auburn. Yeah, I'd have to go through and think about Tom. But yeah, it's definitely a significant amount. And we've talked about it before. I don't know. I think there is an element to it, even if they don't want to admit it, of like not wanting to put their games on TVs just to where it's easily accessible for other teams to sit and watch their players as before the second portal window. But also, I think there is an element of not wanting to show as much and maybe not wanting to put your players in harm's way as well. Overall, I wish they kind of still did it, but I'm not going to complain about a spring game or no spring game. It doesn't really matter. They get these extra practices in. It's all the same in terms of what they're working towards in the fall. So we've been able to see a couple practices. We've been able to, you know, obviously you've talked to sources. We on the Bengal Tiger on three. You just posted your tidbits from yesterday after talking with a bunch of sources on potential starters, potential players, and all that stuff. And we'll get into all that. But it's approaching the end here, the final week or so. And I know they go after, you can break down the schedule, after the spring game, they still have a couple more practices.
Yeah, because they left for spring break when they originally weren't going to. So I think they practice at least two times next week, maybe three. But that also coincides with the portal opening, so it's probably not a bad strategy to just keep practicing and let guys get a feel for where they're at before we see who enters for the that spring portal window. Certainly, they will have some. And at this point, there's no point in speculating. It's going to be guys who don't find themselves either starting and they're older, or in the two deep and they're younger. And 90% of the portal, you can just push NIL aside. I mean, 95% of the portal is guys just wanting to go play somewhere. So some guys stuck around through the first window to see how they would fit in spring. And we've seen every combination of guy get a rep, like first team wise. So they're giving everyone a shot. We'll see how the dust settles here. But I figured we would play a little game of kind of just go through each position quickly, to say who we think's the starter, the competition, or just how you feel about the position.
Yeah.
Let's start at the least important position on the field, quarterback. Andy Staples at On3 put out his rankings this week of the SEC quarterbacks. Nuss was top five. Arch. Actually, this was in all college football.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of SEC ones. Nuss, Arch, Klubnik, who LSU plays in week one for Clemson, Sellers and Lagway. But he had Nuss fifth on that list. It's an offseason list. I don't really care about it. I would have Nuss higher, but I'm not hating on Lagway, not hating on Sellers. I actually like Arch, Nuss, Lagway, and Sellers more than Klubnik. Mm-hmm. But he can make me eat my words, obviously, because they will play in week one. But when you take a step back, Matty B, they have a returning quarterback who finally got he's a veteran, but 12 games, 13 games, starts under his belt. We've talked about the jump from year one to year two. We talked about him being the Heisman odds-on favorite. And now he's pretty consensus considered a top five quarterback in college football. You brought in Michael Van Buren as the backup, and he came from State. He was a freshman at State. He had started most every game for State because they had a quarterback injury. And so now you've got an experienced backup, right? Like, had Nuss gotten hurt last year, you were putting AJ Swan into the game, and both those guys have transferred out. Congrats to Ricky, who won the starting job at Syracuse. I don't know, AJ Swan is at App State, maybe. I didn't see what their quarterback stuff looked like, but Kind of quick thoughts. Everyone knows Nuss. He is obviously one of the better quarterbacks out there, but I think the storyline is that he's coming back for year two. The subplot of it is their backup is better than situation is better than it was a year ago because Van Buren is better than Swan, even though they both had starts at SEC schools already.
Yeah. In the full practice, we've been able to see a couple full practices and then a lot of like bits and pieces of just, you know, drills and stuff. Nussmeier looks fine. He's moving fine. I think there is an emphasis on him not turning the ball over clearly with the offseason and just talking to him and kind of hearing what he's saying and everything like that. I think he understands what it takes now. I have no real concerns about Garrett Nussmeier. And we'll get to the rest of the weapons surrounding him. I think this is a perfect group to surround him. In terms of Van Buren, this was our first chance to really see him and obviously the coaching staff to really get hands-on with him. I love the velocity of his throws. Like, he is real arm talent. You see it. You just see some inconsistencies, I think, with accuracy at times. And I think that's what Sloan and them are working on, really. And then along with just learning the offense and whatnot. So, and these are new receivers for him, right? So if he thinks someone's breaking at 10 yards and they break at, you know, 8 yards or 9 yards, there's a huge difference there. It's just a lot going on for Van Buren, but I've loved the arm talent. And then, you know, Hurley's obviously been away from the team. Juwan Johnson steps in as the third quarterback. And I mean, I remember what was the last time we had a full practice a couple of weeks ago, and he ran with the threes and he broke, you know, like a 20, 25 yard run. And you're like, yeah, that's why he's in the game. If he's in the game, it's going to be a lot of like Wildcat-esque stuff. And then,
and you can do that with Van Buren.
Yes. And you can. But Juwan is such a great playmaker, we know. And then he's throwing the ball well. And I think he's not like obviously not like an elite arm talent or anything like that, but he can get the ball down the field. He can get the ball where it needs to be at times. So
he won a bunch of state titles in high school playing quarterback.
Exactly. So yeah, I feel good about the quarterback position. Clearly Nussmeier.
Nuss can't get hurt. I mean, that's the,
if Nussmeier gets hurt, even as much as we like Michael Van Buren, how good I think he is, like, it still would be a drop off.
Massive drop off.
Yes. Obviously. So, keep Nussmeier healthy, and he's out here trying to run a little bit on these keepers, and Joe Sloan's getting fired up every time he keeps it. So we'll see how much that actually happens this year.
I saw, I don't know if it was OU or Ohio State or somewhere, but they were going live with quarterbacks to the ground. Yeah. I was like, not at LSU. No, sir. No, Brian Kelly's kicking you off the team if you hit Nuss. Doesn't matter who you are. But okay, so that one's easy. They have a great quarterback situation. Running back, Matty B, you get Caden Durham back. Everyone saw what he did as a true freshman. Josh Williams' time comes to an end. He was a national champion, walk-on turn starter. And he was really just your reliable piece. Yeah. Caden now, I guess, has to be that reliable piece and this sort of bell cow type home run guy, which is fine. It just wasn't in the position they've been in. And then you sign two top 10 running backs and the number one running back in Harlan Berry, JT Lindsey, and Caleb Jackson is still on the team. He's a guy I guess we'll watch here in the spring portal window, but does he kind of get into the mix after playing his freshman year and then taking a back seat to Durham and Williams a year ago? But with Trey Holly not on the team, they have two returning guys, two guys coming in. The two guys coming in as freshmen are top 10 backs. They didn't go after any portal backs, so it feels as if Frank Wilson feels good. It's only four guys, but he feels good about them.
Yeah, I think Jackson is pretty safe on this team right now in terms of I wouldn't expect him to go to the portal just because he did get so many reps in the spring. And, you know, part of that is, you know, they don't want to overwork Durham and whatnot. And Berry and Harlan Berry is still learning just how things go. But Caleb Jackson, I thought, looked fairly fresh and a lot more confident. And I think that's a big thing for him. He didn't feel confident last year. And so now in this spring, I think he's been a lot more poised in his runs and a lot more persistent. And so I give Caleb Jackson, I'm not saying he's going to break out and be a star at this point. He's not at that level, but I do think in terms of a second or third back, I would love Caleb Jackson in that role. And especially if he can get to like a short yardage situation where I mean, even if he's just a Noah Kane that's more explosive than obviously Noah Kane was, like that would be
Noah Kane scored double digit touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying. So. If he's a short yardage back, I mean, that would be tremendous. And then Barry,
he's got home run ability though, because he's running in the tens in the 100 meter in high school. Yeah. I also think it's a good point. He's settled in. And the one thing too is, like, if you're going to say like everyone's got great attributes, you would not be playing at LSU on scholarship if you didn't. And he was a top 10 running back coming out of high school at Liberty, but the vision was something you'd have to work on. I can see too that that's tough when you're playing behind an O-line who was not ever run blocking at all. So I like the room. It's shallow, but everybody's talented. And you feel so much better about it, I guess, because we saw Durham play last year and know what he can do.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say is there is a good amount of pressure on Harlan Berry to like, and JT Lindsey to a degree, to be ready right away. They will be, but I do think there's like pressure on them to hit right away as a freshman, which is something to notice.
Frank Wilson is one who plays his running backs early. Caleb played as a freshman. Durham played as a freshman. So like the expectation is you're going to play as a freshman. But as you put it, I think the pressure comes not that you're a freshman. It's you have to play because we only have four guys right now in there that are on scholarships. So we really need you to step up. And boy, is he electric. So,
yeah.
And I saw JT Lindsey the other day and he'd put on some good looking weight. So they got a nice room, not the deepest, but very talented. I guess it kind of goes hand in hand here. The O-line, can they be better run blocking? I don't know. We'll see, right? Like, we don't know the answer yet, but much as
we don't even know the starters are exactly yet.
Okay, let's just do that game. Sure. Tyree Adams is the least talked about heir apparent ever. He was a top 100 prospect coming out of Auggie in New Orleans, and I think he was like a top 10. He definitely was a top 10 tackle in the country, but he had to wait behind Will Campbell, who started three straight years. He's your left tackle. Josh Thompson, was he the highest rated transfer they landed coming from Northwestern as an offensive lineman?
Was it him? Oh, I just saw this the other day.
It'll probably be him or Peyton.
Cooley. Cooley was.
Oh, okay.
Cooley was. I think on threes it was.
So Josh Thompson is a vet coming out of Northwestern. He was one of the more popular portal offensive line targets for teams. Yeah. Comes to LSU. Showed up midway through spring ball, so I don't really think it matters that much, though. He'll catch up. He's an experienced guy. He'll start at guard. I know DJ Chester's getting center reps. I think, too, you're in this mode of it's spring, so you're you're trying to find out who's the best options. But at the same time, the portal's looming large here. Like, Braylon Moore is who they signed from Virginia Tech to play center. He'd been a center for multiple years. You don't just bring him in and say, okay, take every rep at center, DJ, go play guard and back up something. Like, that's the quickest way to send a guy that just started 13 of 13 games into the portal. So you need this competition. I think that's why we've seen DJ get reps at center, but he'll also be in the guard mix. The right guard spot, whether that's Thompson or not, is the one I'm just not – it could be a lot of guys.
Yeah,
that's one. Or the other guard spot opposite Thompson could be a five-star freshman in Carius Kern. It could be Cohen Echols, a guy who stepped into the bowl game and played well. It could be Mabanga, who stepped in when Garrett Dellinger got hurt and had to start like at Florida in his first game ever. And after a few games, you're like, oh damn, he's actually holding up pretty well. And he's had a good offseason. You've got Bordelon in there. I mean, you've got options. So They have recruited so well on the O-line that now they're at this point where they had four dudes who started like three straight years for them basically. So now we're on to that next wave of guys that have waited in the wings. And do we know what they're going to be like as a group? No, but we do know individually they are all very talented. And I think Weston Davis will be your right tackle, the five-star coming out of Beaumont a year ago.
So in theory, even though this hasn't been like actually in practices and what it's looked like during the spring, like we're still staying strong. Like not much has changed from where we were before this spring to now. Like four of the starters are still what we projected at the very least: Adams, Thompson, Moore, and Davis. And then we're just trying to figure out the other guards.
Your two tackles, your center, and we're just trying to figure out the other guard spot, which we said before spring. We were like, I don't know, it could be like five dudes, and
exactly,
everybody's gotten their crack at it.
Yeah, I, the only thing I'll add is just watching spring practices, I do think there has been a good amount of like different run schemes. Like I've seen a ton of counter in there, and that's a lot of that's Alex Atkins coming in as the run game coordinator from Florida State. We knew he was going to bring counter over to them. So no, it's been a lot of like drilling
and Atkins is the tight ends coach, run game coordinator, yeah, but he was an OC for Florida State a year ago. Exactly. So you've added another guy like that to your staff.
Yeah. So the run game is going to continue to evolve. We've seen the early stages of that. That's absolutely pivotal to everything they want to do, is they have to be able to run the ball at least a decent level this year.
Yeah, here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to do the offseason thing where we're like, everything is great. I have no idea if they'll be able to run blocks better than they did a year ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen these guys. Practice doesn't matter to me because I'm not watching in any real extended kind of game format. And the defense knows what they're calling every play, which makes it even harder. So
it's been very
won't know until the fall.
I mean, the practices I've been to and the practices we've seen, it's like the defensive line, honestly, has been winning more than the offensive line. Now, it's spring. It was March. I remember saying that in one of our
messages. Yeah, defense always beats offense in spring.
Yeah, so
it's very easy when you know what the other team's doing the whole time.
Yeah, for whatever reason it is, the defensive line kept winning. So, yeah, there is still a question mark of this offensive line because, yeah, they're all new. They're all new players. So we have a lot of questions here. We'll see if it works out. Even the transfers, even though we love them.
Fortunately, though, the two transfers have started 20-something games each.
Yeah. So the transfers should be good, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
Okay, so O-line, obviously turnover. We're not making any promises, but they've recruited well. Tight end and receiver. Tight end is one where the message board fans, you know, the vocal minority did not like the Bauer-Sharp ad. They said, this guy went to Southeastern as a quarterback. It didn't work out. He put on weight. He played tight end. He went to OU. Every OU receiver gets hurt last year, including Nick Anderson, who's on LSU's team now. But Bauer-Sharp leads him in catches, leads him in receptions, touchdowns. Like, they were doing the whole quarterback rotation thing. They couldn't settle on one. They didn't have any receivers. Bauer-Sharp really kind of held it for him. And when he got to campus, sources in the building were like, you know, they keep an eye on everything. And they're like, all right, people are hating on Bauer-Sharp. Telling you, he's a lot better than people realize. And as spring rolled on, more and more people kept saying, dude, Bauer-Sharp is legit.
Yeah,
I don't need him to be Tre'Des Green because you already have Tre'Des Green. Tre'Des Green is your 6'7". Guy who caught 2 touchdowns in the bowl game. I mean, give it to him, above the rim basketball player. We know what he can do, right? So now you needed that inline slash guy who could also still catch it. Will he be Mason Taylor, Matty B, where he's breaking LSU single season records? No. In my opinion, no.
Yeah.
But Nussmeier has to have a tight end like this because he doesn't run the football. So you have to be able to dump it down or work these short routes and intermediate to guys like Mason Taylor who are really reliable. And I think that's what Bauer-Sharp is. So I could have questioned it. I didn't know much about him, but now after spring, I feel much more confident that the yin and yang of what Tre'Des brings and what Bauer-Sharp brings is a very nice fit for this offense. When you lost Kamorian Pimpton, you lost Mason Taylor, but at the same time, Pimpton had not played much. Tre'Des had clearly risen above him. And now you're not going to replace Mason Taylor with another guy who's a vet that can put up record-breaking numbers, but Sharp is good enough. Everyone I've spoken to, whom I trust, says he is legitimate, that he will be a very good player for him.
Yeah. Now it's just how high is the ceiling with Tre'Des this year? Like, is it – because obviously he's incredibly talented, but on our message board right now, they had the Tre'Des mic'd up. I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's like 10 touchdowns this year. Like, where are we setting expectations for Tre'Des?
That's what you did last year. And I had to pause you. I was like, calm down.
Dude, he's incredible.
He might have one or two. And then he had two in the bowl game.
He had two.
He had more than that. I think he had one more.
Four. He had four. I think he ended up with four on the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, regardless though, yes, he's going to be incredible. The other two, Donovan Green and JD LaFleur, we've seen them work in with Alex Atkins, seen them blocking. I think those are, I think Green, especially
Green's coming from A&M. For those that don't know, he had been injured, but he was a very good high school recruit. He played well there the first year.
Yeah, and the last 2 years, what makes it hard is the last 2 years he's been in and out of with injuries. Like 2 years ago, he missed the whole season. Last year, he was in and out. So now,
Mac Markaway did the same though, who transferred out, but he missed two straight seasons. Came in and played every single game, so it's possible.
Yes, the tape I went back and watched on Donovan Green was when A&M beat LSU at A&M in 2022. I was like, wow, this is a throwback. But that was and I thought Green was terrific in that game as a blocker and a receiver. So it's like you see the talent there. JD LaFleur as a freshman, I think is very well rounded. I don't think he's gonna like wow anybody this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets on the field at all.
Well,
so.
With those bloodlines, his father's David LaFleur is a first round pick coming out of LSU to the Cowboys, and is certainly one of the best tight ends that's ever played here. And JD is no slouch. That kid is, he's already bigger than his dad, and coming out of Sulphur, he was very talked up. And I think he can be a good inline guy for you too.
Yes. Yes. The last thing I'll say is the biggest thing for them with Alex Atkins, especially, is being able to, you don't have to be great as run blockers, but you have to at least hold your own here. And that goes for Traidez, especially. You have to at least be able to just hold your own here. You don't have to do it a ton. They'll flank you out to the slot a lot and whatnot, but you got to at least hold your own at times when you are in line. So that will be something I continue to watch.
Okay, so let's move to receiver, which is the deepest room, which is good. They weren't super deep a year ago. They were talented, just not too deep. They added portal guys. They brought in some young guys, high school signees. But when I say wide receiver, LSU right now, give me the first three names you think of.
After spring, it's going to be Chris Hilton, Berrien Brown, Aaron Anderson.
Okay. I think there's going to be a lot of rotation going on. I think Xavier Thomas is another that obviously is going to play a lot. I think what Xavier gives you too, we saw bits of it last year, but they're going to do a lot more of it, of the jet sweep, of the, you know, he kind of moves Most. Over and then fakes a jet sweep, and then he goes to running back and you hand it off or whatever it might be. So what number does he wear? Zero? What number did Xavier wear last year?
No.
So, but anyways, for those that – I can Google it. But for those that don't remember, he was on the team this past season. He was very solid for them, built very much like an Aaron Anderson type. But I think they're going to use
Xavier zero. I don't know why I second-guessed myself. Yes.
But you've got a kick returner, punt returner, and then I don't want to call him gadgety because he's a good receiver, but he can do a lot of different things, kind of like a Swiss Army knife of sorts. Chris Hilton's your vertical threat, though. As I posted this week, I shared some tidbits about kind of where he's rounding out his game in other areas. Love Aaron Anderson. I mean, he carried the team last year in stretches. And then Berrien Brown is your Kentucky transfer. Now, Nick Anderson transferred in from OU. He was a monster 2 years ago. Then he got hurt, didn't play last year. And Destin Paison coming back home from, or Destin Hill now, Destin Hill. I guess is his name. Paison in high school, but was unbelievable at Edna Carr, went to FSU, had to sit, was in line to start last year, gets injured in spring ball. Now he's back out there. I think they said he was about at 70-80%, but that by fall he'd be fine. He's one to watch. But Nick Anderson and Destin are both coming off injuries, right? So like they're not at 100%. Berrien Brown's never been injured. He's out there. So we got to see him the most. You're penciling him in as a starter. You sharpening him in as a starter. This is a guy coming from Kentucky who holds the SEC record, tied for the SEC record in return touchdowns on special teams. And he played with Will Levis. That's how long he's been around.
Yeah.
And shredded it when he had a good quarterback. So there is definitely a lot of buzz that they're like, okay, yeah, he's legit. He is exactly what we thought he'd be.
Yeah, like I said, I think in the spring, Hilton has been good, Brown has been good, Anderson's been good. Those are the three I'm penciling in as starters right now. Nick Anderson has been in and out, obviously. I don't know the full extent of the injury situation. He didn't start like the first two practices. I don't believe he participated in, and then he got in, and he's been working with the twos and so on. Anderson is someone that I need for this unit. I need him to be good for this unit to like reach the ceiling that I
have no doubt it will be. Oh, Nick Anderson, not
Nick
Aaron.
Anderson. Nick Anderson.
Yes.
Nick Anderson. So
if
I
Nick
think
Anderson reaches
there,
his ceiling, this room goes to a different
yes,
level.
Yes,
of
yes, yes. That's what I'm saying. It's like I know what Brown, Hilton, and Anderson can do. And I believe in all them if they stay healthy to be good.
And Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, and Thomas. But like Nick Anderson, if he gets that 2023 form, then we're talking about like a top two, top three room in the country. Because then you have depth and then you have variety in there. So that's someone that we haven't learned a lot about Nick Anderson this spring. I'm not going to say that's a bad thing. I'm just going to say we haven't seen him enough or heard about him enough to really give us anything to work with. But he is someone that the variable, it changes if he's very, very good.
He was averaging nearly 20 yards a catch 2 years ago. It's one of the most ridiculous stats you can have. Especially, and he didn't catch like three balls. He caught like 50. So really good at OU 2 years ago. We'll see coming off this injury how he looks. But it's a great room. And hey, look, with some transfers out, Kyle Parker coming off injury is the guy who's going to sneak his way up and be able to get into the rotation and play a good bit. So
yeah. The rest of the room, real quick, like I said, Kyle Parker, he's been in a red jersey for most of spring, so non-contact. Billy Oates made a couple plays.
He's coming off year one, so yeah. And he was a former basketball kid. You got to adjust.
Francis with the threes one time had a big catch and run. And then Watkins is running track, so.
Yeah, incredible. He's already about to break 10 flat, which he almost did in high school.
Good for
him. He's going to run for Team USA one day. That's the type of kid we're talking about. Yeah, I'm not sure how – I'd love for his football career to last 4 years, but I think his track career, once he gets – he barely made it out of indoor season without them crowning him. So now this that is he's outdoors and he's about to break 10 flat, yeah.
What was it? Everybody loves, everybody loves all the really fast wide receiver recruits, right? Well, LSU went and got someone that's way too fast now. Now he's not even going to play football. He's too fast for football.
He's special. I mean that in like a Mondo Shikari type of way. This kid is going to be competing at the highest level.
Yeah, it's monster.
But good receiver room. Offense overall, we feel fine about.
Yeah, I mean,
you've got Nussmeier, you're good.
Nothing has changed like materially this spring. Like we still have the same questions in terms of like the run game, and we'll learn all these new players and stuff like that. But in terms of like you still have Nuss, you still have Durham, you still have Anderson, and then Tre'Davious Green, and then you figure out the rest from there.
Yeah, get Hilton healthy.
You have your main weapons. You've added to that obviously, but then. I think at the end of the day, this comes down to if they can run block even to a serviceable level, then this will be a top 10 offense in the country.
And they went and got two O-linemen that have a lot of experience. And I trust Brad Davis to say, well, look, Will, people are like, well, you never know. You don't. But Will Campbell and Emory Jones started as true freshmen at tackle. So, like, we'll see, but Weston Davis and Tyree Adams aren't true freshmen. They've been around. Brad Davis knows what he can get out of them. So that might be the question, not a question mark in a bad way, just that I don't know what the line will ultimately look like and how they'll perform run blocking wise. But we feel good about the offense, which is no different than really a year ago. We just had not seen Nuss start yet. We just had faith that he was going to be good enough. And if he reeled in his turnovers, which he did, that he could be really special, and he had a great first year. I think he'll have an even better second one. Yeah. All right, before we go to defense real quick, let's give a shout out My Perfect Franchise. You guys know him, Andy Ludicky. If you're watching on YouTube right now, you see the email andy@myperfectfranchise.net. It's right there in the name. He's a franchise consultant. He has been a franchise owner, franchisee for decades, and then kind of moved into this consulting role. As I say each week, he's helped out a ton of LSU people. If you hit him up at 404-973-9901, 404-973-9901, or email him, Andy, at myperfectfranchise.net. You can ask him anything. It never costs a dollar. He'll never ask for any card info, nothing. And that stays true all the way until if you'd end up doing a deal to get into a business or start a franchise, join up with one, become a part-time owner of a franchise, whatever it might be. He kind of holds your hand, walks you through everything, whether it's getting your time requirements, money, all these different things, and then telling you, okay, here's what you're able to do. And he's a great dude. He's one of the best guys that I've come across when it comes to dealing in this ad space and people supporting the Bengal Tiger. And This year is his we're living in the NIL era, but he's a baseball diehard. So for anyone who does go with Andy and does end up doing a deal with someone, he's going to kick back the money that that company pays him. Let's say Pizza Hut, make something up.
Yeah.
If you end up going and opening a Pizza Hut, Pizza Hut pays Andy for bringing a new franchise owner into the business. Andy gets his cut. He's going to donate a portion of that, depending on how big the deal is, back to LSU baseball's NIL. And baseball kids don't get full rides. They're all broken into very small fractional scholarships. So as a big baseball fan and in the NIL era, he kind of wanted to do both those. So shout out to Andy for that. And give him a call again if you've ever thought just about shaking things up, whatever it might be. The old kind of no stupid questions is it like Andy's motto is just call him and feel things out. And a lot of people have done it. So costs no money either. He will never ask you for a card or any of that. So no harm, no foul in buzzing him or shooting him an email and telling him we said hello. And you can even tell him about what we're about to say about the defense on the podcast. Even though he's a Texas fan, he'll enjoy some breakdowns of LSU. Defensively, murkier?
Yes. I mean, yeah, there's clearly like a wider range of outcomes with the defense.
Of like who could start, let alone how it might actually look.
Yes, for sure.
You know, production-wise. Let's start D-line. Let's start with edge and ends because I think that's, again, a spot that I'm not really worried about at all. And I haven't been the past couple of years.
No. There's not a concern for it. The question is just, can they be like elite? Like how good can they be? I think I've said it before. I think somebody said like, what's your hot take in like January or something like that? And I was like, Gabe Relaford starts for LSU in 2025. I was like, does that qualify as a hot take? And people were like, yes. I was like, yeah, I guess it does. And I still think that. I still think Relaford can start. Now, Jack Pyburn, I thought, had a really good spring. We know what he is physically and as a runner.
Jack Pyburn comes in from Florida as a transfer. Yes. Someone who stepped in for Florida a few games in and became a starter. And then their defense just changed completely because what he can do stopping the run, really, and getting into the backfield. So you like Pyburn at edge, right?
Yes. And then
so this is your stand-up outside kind of linebacker.
Yeah, and then Patrick Payton and Jamari Butler, I thought both of them physically are like 6'5", with long arms, twitchy, like your prototypical edge rushers, right? Like a Braden Swinson replacement.
Yes. And again, for those that are trying to learn names here, Patrick Payton started at Florida State, and then I was going to say Pyburn.
Jamari Butler.
Butler started at Nebraska. Yeah. So you've got those guys. I guess you could get a little rotation there at DN, the hand in the dirt guys, unless Butler's more of an edge. I don't know exactly how they'll play that out, but you've got now some talented transfer options. But as you mentioned, Gabe Relaford's back. Even with Womack gone to Ole Miss, you've got Relaford. Who else do you think can really get in the mix there? Because we've seen how Kevin Peoples, who coaches DNs and edge, he rotates about two guys, like he'll play about two guys, you know,
yeah,
a starter and a main backup. So is it right now three transfers in Relaford?
That's how I would have it. I mean, we've seen, I watched a good amount of one-on-ones when they do O-line, D-line, especially when the 11-on-11 or when the full practices were happening. And those were the guys getting like the main reps. Like I saw some Kalash Cobbin, CJ Jackson, Damian Shanklin, Dylan Carpenter, you throw out those names and stuff. Like, I think they're all
still younger guys.
Yeah, they're all younger.
A couple are Relaford's age, a couple are brand new to the team. But that's why, look, good job in the portal then, because they went out and got a guy 2 years ago playing opposite Jared Verse, who became a first round pick. Patrick Payton was one of the best defensive ends in the country. Like,
yeah,
LSU saw him, he tore him up. If he can get back to 70% of that, you're good. Like, you'll take it. He was that good.
They love
Pyburn.
Yeah. Again, the question is, like, how high can they reach, like, this level? And that's what I'm interested to see is can they become, like, a really, really high level? And I don't think they need to be. The thing is, in this defense, it doesn't need to be, like, Payton and Relaford and Butler get all the sacks, right? Because you're going to have Harold Perkins in there and you're going to try to create havoc with blitzes. So that's why I'm not worried about, like, in a traditional sense, be like, oh, if Relaford and Peyton don't combine for 18 sacks, then it's a disappointment. No, like, they can combine for 14 and the Perkins gets what his number, and then Weeks will get some and so on. Like, I think this is by scheme, there's a lot of pressure taken off of these defensive end to where they can worry about other things at times, like taking up blocks and being in the right assignment to where they don't have to just worry about, oh, just go get quarterback constantly, if that makes sense.
It does. And we'll dive deeper into all these positions later. DT, though, is one that every offseason we sit here and talk about. The spring portal window is about to open. I don't even want to talk about DT shopping at an overvalued price in that window. But right now, who are your two starters for really a position that the storyline was they're not deep on depth and they don't have like a lot of star power beyond, like, Don McKinley was a 5-star coming out of high school. But beyond that, like, Ahmad Breaux was, what, a 4-star, high 3-star, but he was coming off a Ruston team that was one of the best in the state. And then you've got some newcomers. You've got a transfer. It's not the deepest room. But then getting Jacobian Guillory back as a veteran nose tackle is big. But all this sort of conversation shifted to Kyle Williams, who got hired to replace Bo Davis, with this narrative of, well, he's never coached in college. Like, what are we doing? There's so much turnover. I'm just not buying it. Kyle Williams, and I was talking to a coach, a very well-known high school coach in Louisiana for many, many years, who, when I brought that up about Kyle Williams, cut me off. And he was like, any LSU fan who doesn't think Kyle Williams can coach D tackle and nose tackle doesn't know anything about football. He's like, he just spent the past, what, 20 years being the best, one of the best D-tackles and nose tackles in the NFL. And on the back of his career, basically coaching that group of Ed Oliver and all them. Then he goes home after retirement to Ruston. They had the best defense in the state for 3 years in a row. So, like, he had talent. One of the guys who may start at LSU was on that team in Ahmad Breaux. I think I've said it before, the biggest benefit of working a guy who's a first-time college coach at this level in the SEC in is, he doesn't have to coach the whole D-line. Kevin Peoples, who's like super, super experienced, has the edge rushers and ends. Kyle Williams coaching DTs and nose tackles is what he can do in his sleep. So I think that, coupled with just who Kyle Williams is and knowing out there that he didn't even need to listen to the outside chatter. It's in his head. I've never coached at this level. What do I need to do to get myself there? And we've seen him at practice. He's, boy, if you got Brad Davis and Kyle Williams out there yelling at you, we thought Bo Davis was bad. Kyle Williams will light into you too. But
yeah,
quick thought there. I know I kind of went on for a minute.
No, yeah.
Out of all the positions I think we would talk about, this is the one that still, I'm going to say, worries me. I just don't see where they have like the same level of talent that they do at a lot of other positions.
Yeah. So I'll take a positive spin here. First of all, yeah, I agree with everything you said on Kyle Williams. The biggest positive from this spring at defensive tackle is Sadir Mitchell by a significant margin. Going into it, there is nothing on film at Texas.
Yeah, there were no expectations.
Like, there was no expectations of him coming in. This was, you know, Bo Davis coached him at Texas, brought him over, or at least recruited him at, coached him and recruited him at Texas. In the 2 years he was at Texas, there is nothing to go off of there. And you watch the tape and it's very, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but there's not a lot to hold on to. And so I had low expectations coming in. I think in terms, and I don't want to oversell him now, but I do think in terms of just the strength and the size that he has, it completely checks off that box of a nose tackle. Just put him at the zero tech and just let him eat blocks and force offenses to deal with his size first. And then that opens things up for a McKinley and a Bro and so on and so forth. So
Guillory will be back.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Sadir Mitchell is going to be an all conference player by any means, but I think he showed enough mobility and strength and just like he moves at that weight more comfortably now than he did a year or 2 years ago. And he looked good.
So he moved from, I have no expectations because we don't know anything about him, to someone who can contribute.
Yes. Yes. He is, let me get his exact measurements. Yeah. 6'6", 355.
And then the media was in practice the other day for 20 minutes. When he got banged up, he hobbled off. He was favoring his leg. Everybody freaked out. I asked a couple sources and they were like, this is why media should not be allowed for the first place. This is happens every day with somebody. And then they come back next practice. So we'll see if he's out there for the spring game or they just let him take it easy. But I don't think that,
That is the biggest positive, in terms of, so if he could be a starter, Jacoby Guillory just got back in pads. We'll see how the next 5 months go for him.
Dom McKinley's your best player on the at DT.
Yes, McKinley will start. I would expect a true like nose or at least a interior D tackle guy between Guillory or Mitchell, one of them to start, and then McKinley and Bro to alternate the other spots. Sean Washington has been in the mix as well. So those five, and then one of the freshmen, I know you love Buddy Mathis.
I'm a big Buddy Mathis fan.
Zion Williams is another nose tackle type guy. They'll figure out one of these details.
And he's had a solid showing, people have said, that I've spoken with. They've liked Zion, that kind of his senior year film wasn't like it was like, whoa. And then his senior year was like, all right. I mean, you're going to need to make some jumps in college. And they were like, he's looked really nice. So, D-tackle, I know that position is one we're worried about. We'll dive deeper into there as time goes on. You go to Blake Baker's linebackers. This is like the most straightforward room to me because there are just only a few outcomes. It's Whit Weeks is starting and never coming off the field. Harold Perkins is starting now at star, which is the position Major Burns played a year ago, which is the position Harold played his freshman year when he was obviously unbelievable and everybody was like, oh, no doubt, first-round pick. He ends up coming back for his fourth season, largely because he got injured, right? And can't go to any draft stuff. You're not going to get picked where you deserve to be picked. He comes back. I've been on record. I think he's going to have a phenomenal year if everything's locked in for him. Who do you have at the other line? Who is the Greg Penn now? Because Greg Penn has graduated, and you've got another week's – well, you got two more Weeks brothers, but West Weeks is your veteran.
Yeah,
but we saw them turn to Devon Keyes a ton, and including in the bowl game when he had a pick.
Yeah, I do think it's between those two. I lean Devon Keyes. He has gotten a lot of first team reps here, but West Week clearly in that mix as well. So it's between those two. Honestly, the linebacker depth has been kind of questionable. Actually, not even kind of. It has very much been questionable.
Well, after that, you get to Tylan Singleton, guys who were just 1 year into the program.
Yeah, and then you go freshman after that, really, with a slew of names, whoever you want to throw in there. I think it's Whit Weeks and Devon Keyes to start. West Weeks rotates in. Whit Weeks won't come off the field, like you said.
Yeah.
If he does, then
that room will go as far as Whit Weeks takes them, you can imagine.
Yeah.
Being at star, I love.
Yeah. Like the linebacker room itself, we'll see how the depth plays out. But at the very least, you have Witt, Star, Harold. During the spring, they've had Austin Osbury there at star. They've also had Charles Ross there at star, which is notable because Ross's speed and his potential playmaking.
I think Harold Jim Coyley, when he gets here, who signed as a safety, could play a little star. He's a much bigger kid, linebacker type for him.
Exactly. So that kind of group there at star. But yeah, overall, we'll see how it works out. I think Whit Weeks will be a great player. I think Harold will have a great season. Just the questions of everybody else around them and how they fit will be interesting.
Yeah, my biggest thing I said before was, one, I don't think people realize how good LSU has it getting Garrett Nussmeier back. I think they're kind of just like glossing over that.
Yeah.
And then my argument for like 1B was that I think people forget Harold Perkins is on this football team. And when healthy and playing the right position, or at least one he's most suited, proven at, which is that star spot, he can be a game changer. We saw it. He won them a football game by himself, basically, at Arkansas 2 years ago. So that's in there. Yeah, 3 years ago. But five-star, number one linebacker, like this ain't no scrub. He just got injured last year. So people forget now that while he was on that linebacker path that kind of took him out of that game wrecker spot, that he got injured, and then people just sort of were like, oh, Harold's on the team. Well, he has the ability to be one of the best edge rusher types in the country as an outside linebacker. So my opinion, I'll stick to it. Okay, beyond linebacker, DB, this is where they have to get better, right? Like DT and DB.
Do you want to go corners or safeties first?
let's go corners. That's where they that's where they've needed the most turnover, and we're in the midst of it. I think that DJ Pickett, a 5-star number one corner on three, is going to start as a true freshman. And you say, Shea, well, they play at Clemson in week one. Well, go look at DJ Pickett. 6'4", arms drag on the ground, can turn and run with anybody, like built in a lab for Corey Raymond. He brought Jakeem Jackson from Florida. He was a top 5 corner on three. He had played, got banged up, and then just sat out the rest of the year. He knew he was transferring. He knew he was going to end up at LSU, I think, and said, all right, I'll just sit this out, take my red shirt, get healthy, and move on. But I wrote this in the tidbits this week, and I asked multiple sources this, and all of them said the same thing. They said, I can make the argument that Mansoor Delaney is the best transfer we got on the team. He's coming from Virginia Tech. He plays corner. We didn't know if they were going to put him at safety, nickel.
He's versatile.
Like, yeah, right. Like, what are they going to do with him? They've had him at corner. That's where he played at VT. And you just can't overlook, like, DJ Pickett is a true freshman. Jackson was a top 5 corner, signed with Florida, great player, but, like, got banged up and then sat out. Yeah. Mansoor Delaney's played 30-something games. He has 160-something career tackles. He's been thrown into the ACC fire now. I've talked about it before. There's a jump, ACC to SEC.
Yeah.
I've heard enough to believe that he can handle this jump. People didn't say, oh, I think he's going to start, or I think he's the best corner. They said, I would put a wager he's the best transfer we have.
Yeah, so I think that also goes hand in hand. We haven't seen much of Jakeem Jackson. Like, we've seen him out there at times and everything, but, like, we haven't seen him, like, really do much there. So I think Delaney as the starting corner opposite of Pickett is like, if we're doing, like, a depth chart, like, that's what I would put right now.
Let's not forget in the Corey Raymond rebuild here, now he has the chance to develop P.J. Woodland, who is having to start games for you. Ashton Stamps, who is having to start games for you. Michael Turner, who had moved from receiver at Curtis in that Veer offense to playing corner for the first time, he had to develop. You also have a really nice little arsenal of guys behind them. Half of them have played a lot of games, but just needed time. Like, those were guys that weren't supposed to be starting until 2-3 years in. Like, day one, they were out there. Like, Ashton Stamps was playing safety in high school, and they started at corner right away. So I think they've stopped the bleeding, Matty B, to an extent. Now, am I going to tell you they're going to be locked down everything? No. I just can look at this group and now know that this is how it should look. Either you got a 5-star number one corner out there playing as a freshman, or you've got some dudes who've played a lot of football like Delaney. Behind them, I want a lot of guys that Corey Raymond can develop. And Turner, Woodland, Stamps, they all fit that for me.
Yeah, I think the Pickett aspect of this cannot be understated. Like, they'd be fine if they didn't get Pickett and they still had
Imagine Jackson. If they hung on to Cade Phillips, the other 5-star corner.
Yeah.
But they did get Aiden Anding, who will come
in. The point being is they'd be fine if they had Delaney and Jackson as their starters. Like, that, you know, that'd be fine.
They wouldn't be this good.
But Pickett is what changes things. Like, the ceiling, not just for this year, but, you know, years to come. But, like, this year, if he reaches, not even his ceiling, but if he just gets his feet wet and he is half as good as what we think he can be, then that changes things for you at corner. So
the funniest experience I've had with DJ Pickett so far this spring is asking sources how he looks, and they'll talk, you know, on the phone or in person, whatever it might be. And you bring up DJ Pickett and then it's like a whisper and it's like, he's special. It's like, you can talk louder. It's like, and nobody wants to say too much about a kid who's never played a game of college football, but they're like, look, if there's a 5-star number one corner, that's what it's supposed to look like. It's supposed to look like Surtain, Stingley, and I think Pickett fits that bill. So they will be better there again. How much better is the question? Safety's the wild one here because they didn't have a – they weren't searching for safeties the past few years. They added Jordan Gilbert, but they were just playing the same one. It was Major Burns. It was Sage Ryan, and it was Jordan Gilbert.
Yeah.
Three Louisiana guys that anyone who followed recruiting has known these guys since 10th grade.
Georgia, Louisiana.
Well, I mean, he's from even went to Madison Prep. He's Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
He's committed to LSU till they pulled a scholarship and had to go to Georgia. And second that the new staff came, they welcomed him back. But Majors graduated. Big shout out to him. Sage has gone to Ole Miss, so they could play Sage this year if he's starting for them or out there a good bit. And then Jarden played through two injuries last year, which is why his tackling wasn't as good as it should have been and has been in years past. Jarden will play a lot or start. And we'll figure that out in ball camp. But you said earlier, Cooley, one of the better ranked transfers, kid coming out of NC State, thoughts there? Because a lot of NC State DBs were very good and got picked up in the portal. Like all four of them hit the portal and all four of them got picked up. He was considered the best of all of them.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen anything groundbreaking from Cooley this spring, but I think in terms of just natural talent, and y'all can go read my transfer analysis on him, it's just like the playmaking ability at that spot is completely different from what they've had. Like he's not the most imposing guy, so I think you're going to have a more imposing figure next to him, whether that is Toviano or Gilbert, whoever else. But
someone
I think
who can
just
tackle.
In terms of a playmaker, a guy that can man up occasionally if you need to. That's why I thought he could play the slot for them, whether that's star or just nickel. I think he'd be terrific there as well. But like, he is a guy who, in terms of coverage, I feel great about. And I've seen that in spurts in the spring. I believe in that. Now we'll just need to see it consistently in the fall. And then after that, you go, like you said, down that list of, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if any of that group of Toviano, Spears, or Gilbert started. And we even seen a good amount of Joel Rogers this spring, like way, way more Joel Rogers than what I expected to see. So if you want to throw him in there, you can.
Deshaun Spears, obviously, and Joel came in at the same time a year ago. Deshaun got thrown in the fire right away. He was Denham Springs' all-time leader in picks. We knew he had to get better at tackling. You saw that right away. But he's a true freshman getting thrown out there on the road in the best conference in college football. So I like, again, that's kind of like it. Matty B, it reminds me of the corners. Like, good. Now you can develop Joel Rogers and Deshaun and those guys instead of having to be like, you might start because we don't have anybody else. So that room is much like corner to me. I feel better about it, but I just don't know yet. And I think that the coaches would tell you the same. Like if you were to ask Corey Raymond and Jake Olson, like, how good are you going to be? They would say, we'll see. Like, a lot of summer and fall left.
I feel like you have more talent this year, but now it's, putting it together with all these transfers and everything like that. So, in terms of overall defense, there's definitely still question marks here. And especially, it's hard in the spring without Perkins out there to really get a gauge because he does change so much.
Well, and weeks.
And weeks, yeah, Jesus. it changes so much of what they could potentially be doing out there when you see them like going 11-11. And I think the defense, and people have written about this, talked about this, but the defense has won its fair amount of reps. Like, it's not like
usually do in spring.
Yeah. It wasn't like it was 2 years ago or whatever, where it felt like it was a lot of offense. It does feel fairly balanced here.
Here's the other thing. And this is very important in my opinion. Beyond Kyle Williams replacing Bo Davis, there's no turnover. Yeah. They were the worst defense in the country, too. Like, they finished in the 130s. We said all offseason, cut it to like 60-something. That's where they finished, and they did it with a less talented roster than the one that finished in the 130s because, like, four or five of those guys went on to play in the NFL. Like, all the D linemen, Mason Smith, Jordan Jefferson, Makai Wingo, that whole group of guys, like, you lost all those guys. You had a lot of the same starters back, and then we're having to toss true freshmen like Deshaun Spears and them into the mix.
Yep.
And they finished in the 60s. They cut it in half. We'll dive way deeper into all that later, but I think that continuity, not having to learn a whole, Blake Baker scheme, not having to learn something about your position coach because every one of them was new a year ago. I think that is something that doesn't get talked about because it's just like, oh, nice. All the coaches are there. We're good. Move on through. This is the first offseason since Kelly got hired. Is it that they don't have a new coordinator and on both sides of the ball? Or did Matt House last?
House was there for 2 years.
But Denbrock left and Sloan took over.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, wait, hold on. No, it was Denbrock and House the first 2 years. Was it not? Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Denbrock, House, and then last year they changed both of them to Sloan. Yeah.
But so now point, you don't. Now you return your coordinators, and I think the continuity there is important.
Yes.
And position coaches.
Correct. Yeah.
Special teams, I'm going to call them out again. Brian Kelly told me that return game doesn't matter in the new era of college football. Now they have – not only did two of his players go and return kicks for touchdowns last year in Aaron Anderson and Xavier Thomas, they signed Berrian Brown, who's the SEC record holder for return game touchdowns. I think he has five or six. So they will not be fair catching anything, but I have no clue who they put back there. One of those three.
What an incredible moment still.
what a year of fair catching it.
What a quote where it's just like, yeah, you know, it doesn't.
Well, he got down the analytics path on me, and he was like, you know,
is it the same path that has him receiving the ball first half the time? I don't know.
I'm just,
I don't know where these analytics are coming from.
He said the numbers show, which the I numbers. Believe. If you do score first, you are probably more likely to win. I'm down with that analytics.
It's a great point.
I'm picking on him. Brian Kelly knows infinitely more about football than me, but not about return specialists. I know more about that. But I don't know who's going to start. Yes, but they have three. At least we know they're not fair catching it, right, Matty B? They have three dudes who are all would be starting for any team in the SEC on
returns. Yes, all outstanding players, and they're fine there. They're fine.
Ramos is back at kicker, and then
do we have to acknowledge if they have like a 50-plus yard field goal? Is it just Aaron Burrell now?
Yeah.
I don't think people realize that Ramos is your
short game guy, maybe, and Burrell can come in.
If it's 50 plus, it will be Aaron Burrell. I'm almost positive. Just watching them kick the ball and watching them the last 2 years, it's like Ramos is the starter, but like 50 plus, I'm putting Aaron Burrell in.
That's fine. Teams do that. And he's your kickoff specialist. And then they signed Grant Chadwick out of Middle Tennessee State, which they did this with Blake Oschendorf out of La Tech a year ago. He was like one of the better players in his conference. And then he just didn't pan out. We didn't really know what happened there. They kind of like back and forth the punters. I'd have to check. We'll see. But I would assume Grant Chadwick coming out of Middle Tennessee State, who is excellent, is going to be their punter.
Yes, I assume so too. Nothing has changed watching Peyton Todd and them punt the ball. I feel the same. All right.
That's everybody. I think that's every position.
There you go. There's our spring.
Oh, football. Damn. In under an hour. It's not a mailbag, but we did it.
Spring football recap. Getting this out to y'all even before the official end of spring ball. But everything we've seen, everything we've heard, and all the positions.
Don't be clipping me and tagging me on Twitter, guys. Tagging Brian Kelly talking about it. I know more about football. Jay Dixon said he knows more about football than Brian Kelly. Return specialist.
And then
with
how Brian Kelly sees things, he's going to see it and be like, oh yeah, Shay Dixon, right? Shay Dixon, the guy who knows everything about football. He's going to just randomly say it at a press conference now. I can't wait.
God damn. He's got that mulky in him. I'm about to get burned.
Exactly. All right.
He's going to ask me how many guys on the team, or is fair catching it all year? Is that good or bad? And I'll say that's terrible. Oh yeah. How many have you fair caught in a game?
None.
Full
mulky.
So you wouldn't know, would you? No.
And then he's going to do just like Mulkey does. He's going to wink at you. Where you like those little wink?
I love how Mulkey defended the whole thing by not apologizing, just saying, "Hey, I winked." He knew I was kidding. I winked.
If you get winked at, you know she's not serious. She's not serious 90% of the time when she's doing this, but it makes for good content from people, I guess. So, all right, that's what we got for y'all today. Hope y'all enjoyed it. Leave a like, comment, share, subscribe to the YouTube, and subscribe to the Bengal Tiger on 3.
We're trying to track down some SEC schools and jump them in subs. It's $1, so test us out. And then chime in the YouTube, and we'll get in there and talk to you guys. But let us know who you think.
I don't read YouTube comments anymore.
I don't get in there. I'm worried about it. I ain't scared of YouTube.
They ain't paying me to talk. So
get them, boy. All right, we'll stay.
I guess
on the
they
board.
Could be. They could be, I guess, technically.
Not as much as we get paid to stay.
Not as much from the Bengal Tiger. Subscribe to the Bengal Tiger on 3 if you want to talk to us.
That's where we're really talking.
But yeah, we have all the basketball latest intel over there going.
Men's and women's.
Yes, men's and women's. It's still got some stuff coming there. So be on the lookout.
And we'll do a spring game recap or spring recap next week of like just more kind of things that we took away.
We'll do another one. Maybe a little Q&A and everything too. So stay tuned for that. Everything y'all want football wise leaving the spring, we will have this month. So yeah, thank y'all for joining us. We will talk to y'all
later. Noted expert on special teams, Shea, signing off.
Shea Dixon.
Only one area of special teams.